Good morning, everyone. Hope all is well and God is with you. We have a dynamite message today. Now, last week we did quite a bit of teaching. Last week we unpacked a lot of information for you. And this week we're going to go back and explain and break it down to you so that you have a better understanding, because Revelations is not the easiest chapter to understand. Amen. But it is my prayer that I make it simple for you to have a meal. Amen. All right. So first I want to say that you are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Amen. And so I want to thank everyone for being here. I thank God for each and every one of you, and pray that you and your families are well. Now, are there any praise reports today?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Come on.
I'm gonna come on and start with my kids have been going through. I've been going through. I'm gonna put it like this. God blessed me with a job after being off for almost 6 months. I didn't know which direction I was going to go, what I was going to do. And then a job came. As fast as that job came, the devil took it from me.
What?
You heard what I said. He took it from me. They fired me the day after the holiday. And the reason that they stated that they fired me was because I fell asleep on the job. I said, the devil is a lie. I will not sign that paper. I will not in any way. What do I need to do to get my check? That's all I know. I all left right. that job not knowing what I was going to do. I'm not going to lie. I questioned. I asked God, what was it? What am I doing wrong? Please show me. I just went into full-blown meltdown. That's why you ain't heard from me. And then I said, I had support from my guy, support from my children, support from my mother, and they all started praying for me. How about Friday? God said, I got you. And in that process, I will be starting Monday at a new job.
Ooh, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going through, but I ain't giving up. I praise him and I thank him for everything that he has done for me. I thank him for the people that he's brought into my life. Because the two of you, if y'all don't but know it, have been like my mom and my dad to me, that I wish they were like you, but then again, I have to accept them for who they are.
Right.
As I learned their histories, I understood better why we were raised the way we were. So I'm trying to turn it around and break the chains.
Now, who is this? Who is this? Who is this?
And I'm telling you, there are days that I didn't want to get on here. I didn't want to hear nothing pastor said. I'm going to tell you, I even was mad at him because he ain't hearing what I'm saying. He won't tell me about the Bible. I'm talking about real life. Come on, let's do this for me. And he had to keep talking to me. Mama had to keep talking to me. The two of you have been such a blessing in my life and even in my kids' life that I want to thank you. I just want to... If I had it, I would. I'd make it possible where my donations was enough to take you where you needed to be. You just don't know. That's how much I appreciate you. So all I can say is I can give you the love from my heart and let you know that I am truly grateful for Amen. You to being in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Lord.
Now, that's a heck of a testimony, and I got to tell you, God is on the scene in our lives, too. Okay, so we're thankful for members who bring testimony like that, because see, that's a donation right there. I don't know whether you realize that's a donation, because it just pumps everybody up. gives everybody around hope, you know, that God is going to do the same for them. Amen. 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 Thank you for that wonderful, heartfelt testimony. And yes, we do a lot of things we don't even, you know, think about. We just jump in it and do it. So, hey, all praises to God. I'm just so happy for you. So now today, we have, we've got some things that we want to talk about. And let me start off with a prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. And everyone that is here, we thank you for them, Lord. And we pray that your word reaches that space on the inside of them that causes change, Lord, and that it makes them realize that they need you, Father, that they need you more than they need life itself. But we thank you that every spiritual and natural need is met in thy Son, Jesus' name. And we all agree to this prayer by saying, amen.
Amen.
Let the word flow today and use me, Father, for your benefit and for your glory. Now, last week we taught on war in the manger. So this week we're bringing an explanation for a lot of things that we taught, because as I said a minute ago, Revelations is not the easiest chapter to understand. Matter of fact, it is one of the most difficult to understand because a lot of things are not explained and has a lot of symbolisms in it. So you gotta really dig and really study to be able to get some of the explanation that you get. Now we're starting on the 11th chapter. We had done six of the trumpets. We did the seals. Now we're on the trumpets. We're on that seventh trumpet. That seventh trumpet, chapter 11, verse 14. And this is what it says. Heaven isn't whispering, it's shouting. This is the moment when heaven is rejoicing, while some on the earth are still resisting that Jesus is king. His reign is forever. Now, the seventh trumpet doesn't unleash a judgment like the other trumpets that came before it. The last one, on the sixth, a third of mankind would die. So if there's 3 billion people on the earth, 1 billion will die under the sixth trumpet, or the second woe. Now, the seventh trumpet declares dominion. It doesn't have a judgment. It declares dominion. 11:15 speaks of the establishment of Jesus Christ's kingdom, and it is a direct consequence of his sacrificial death and his resurrection. 11:15, this is what it says. And when the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, but before Jesus can be crowned king, there has to be a baby in a crib. Before that king could claim his kingdom, he had to be born into the world. This statement requires a little more explanation, because how many of you know that the Bible is not in chronological order? So these things seem like this out of order, but they're not out of order. We just have to go back and put the rest of it in so that there is a full understanding of everything we discussed. When Christ was born, war broke out in heaven and in the earth. Now roll your sleeves up and let's go to work. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. Now, if you have your Rick H. Carter Ministries app, There is a Bible on the app. Amen. Now, this is what it says in verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away our sins. Real atonement, which is repayment for our sins. Some people call it reparations. Real atonement requires real blood. Not just the blood of sheep, bulls, and goats that they sacrificed. Let's go down to verse 1. That's verse 4. Let's go down to verse 1 and get a little bit more history. But we're finding out that when they went to the temple once a year, brought their sacrifice of praise, told the high priest what their petitions were, what their sin was, and he took it before God, who was hovering over a cloud in the most holy place, over the top of the Ark of the Covenant. They would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the ark, and they would tell God what the petitions were. In other words, what were their sins? Okay, and God would forgive them for their sins. Now let's go to verse 1 and find out a little bit more about this. And verse 1 says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, is not the very image of the things, and it can never, with these sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach come or make them perfect. Now, shadow of good things, this passage states that the law is a shadow of the good things to come, not the realities. So what it's telling you, this is not really what they need for atonement. It's a shadow of it, or it's an example of what they need, but it's not it. Because in the Bible, it tells us that the law was our schoolmaster. All right? It was just supposed to keep us until Jesus came. This indicates that the sacrifice were merely an example of a more perfect solution that is coming. What we need to understand is that verse 2 says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshiper, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. So what it's saying that those who sacrifice every year, they wouldn't sacrifice if they were truly forgiven for everything. So verse 3 says, but in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. Verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Amen? So now we have established one of the reasons that Jesus had to come. Now let's find out a little bit more about that. Verse 5 breaks a little bit more down to us so we get a truer understanding of why Jesus had to come on the earth. Now, verse 5 says, therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Now, this definitely needs an explanation. Here, Jesus is speaking to the Father. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that the Old Testament sacrifice were not enough to truly remove sin. He says, but a body have thou prepared for me. So God has prepared a body for Jesus. Jesus needed to become human in order to become our substitute. Because Jesus invested with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when I say Godhead bodily, I mean God in the body. He would be our substitute, but he came with power. That's what it means by the Godhead bodily, the Godhead being in a body. Amen. Now, what's the Godhead? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let's go down to verse 10. And this is what it says. It tells us that Jesus came to offer his body as a sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his body on the cross for our sins. His atoning death is the foundation of the gospel, fulfilling the Old Testament sacrifices and becoming the final atonement for all sin since the beginning of time. Now, what does that mean? This is what it means, that his death covered our sins from the Old Testament believers as well as the New Testament believers. This is one of the reasons Jesus had to come. Now, was this why Satan was after the child, or was there more of why he was after this child? Now, right now, I need to borrow your imaginations to paint a picture in the spirit for you to see what's about to happen. Amen. Now, picture this. When we think of Christmas, we think of peacefulness, a quiet night, a glowing manger, soft angels singing in the distance, a Christmas tree in the living room, lights flashing on the outside, gifts up under the tree. But Revelation 12 and Matthew, the second chapter, gives us a very different viewpoint of that very same night. Behind the baby in the manger, there was a raging war going on in the unseen universe. On the earth, Mary cradled the baby Jesus. While heaven was bracing for a battle, hell was already on the move. This wasn't just the birth of a child. This was the arrival of a warrior king, and the enemy knew it. This is no ordinary scene. This is not Bethlehem. This is not the shepherds and the angels and the wise men. All right? This is war. Now, let's go back to Matthew, the second chapter. Now, Jesus is born, and Herod becomes the earthly face of Satan's rage, or spirit of the Antichrist. Now, Joseph is warned in a dream. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus flee to Egypt from that dream. Now, God protects the child, but the world shows how threatened it is by his arrival, Jesus. We worry all the time. And I'm talking about you and I. We worry all the time, and we take steps to protect our own selves, all the while forgetting what we were taught as children, that God protects us. There are two people in that body that you live in right now, all of you, that body that God gave you. Now, the one that God created and the other is what the world created. Now, when we make mistakes, we felt we had to come up with an answer about a way to fix our problem. And we did not go to God for the answer. We made our own answer up. We took advice from other people, and sometimes we followed that advice. Even sometimes a mere stranger, we took their advice because it sounded right. So this is what the world created. That's the person the world created. Now, the one God made goes to God for these answers. And the one that the world made tries to fix their own. God has a standard in his word, and it is written down. And if you read it, write it, and follow it, he tells you what the answer is if you follow it. But now when you go to the world, you do not know the end of your decision. You make a decision, you go do it, and you be looking to see if it does what you thought or what that other person said it would do. What's the difference? Make your own choice whom you will follow. But I choose Jesus, because there's only two trees in the garden. There's the tree of life, which is Jesus, and there's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the world system. And when you follow the world system, you become your own God. Make your own choice. I'd rather follow the God of the universe, of heaven, as well as earth, than to follow earthly advice. Now, Matthew 2 and verse 3 says that when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled along with him. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country a different way. Now, verse 14, go there. It says, and when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. The birth of Jesus is not just about a baby in a manger. It's about war in the heavens. And Satan knows that this child is coming to crush his rule. And that's why there's a fierce resistance. So now we see there's something else going on. Now let's go back to Genesis and find out why else is he after the child. Genesis 1st chapter and verse 26. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. I hope you're there. I'm taking off so that you do not get confused and have a full understanding. We're going to go back to Genesis 1 and 26. Now, authority was lost in the garden in the first chapter of Genesis. God originally gave dominion over the earth to mankind. Let them have dominion over all the earth, Genesis 1, 26. But when Eve and Adam sinned, they handed over authority over the earth to Satan. This is why Satan is called the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, and the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2 and 2. Now, how did they lose it? By obeying the voice of Satan instead of obeying the voice of God. The man who was given it by God gave it to Satan, who usurped it through deception. Sin didn't just bring death, it also transferred authority. How many times have you listened to someone who you thought had your best interests at heart, just like Eve did, and you lost something very important, and you tell yourself, I feel like a fool. Something told me that this wasn't right. And you could hear Satan laughing at you as you made that mistake. Stay with God. Because yes, he is laughing at you, because you also are the seed of the woman. Okay? And he will get at you. So I'm telling you for your own good. He's after Jesus and he's after you too. He wants to kill Jesus and he wants to kill you too. Just like that confession we had today. The enemy keeps trying to destroy her pathway, her legacy. But God, you understand? But God is there on the scene, working things out. showing her that he is real. And I want all of you to stay with him. Be patient. Let God lead you and guide you, because if you wait on him, you get his answer. If you rush, you get your own answer, or you get the world's answer. Now, and then you don't want to feel like a fool and that Satan is laughing at you. Now, what else is Satan after the child for? Now he got control over the earth, number one. And we also know that the child is needed for a sacrifice. But let's go to Genesis 3 and get down to the nitty gritty. And the Lord said unto the serpent, verse 14, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, Genesis 3, 14 and 15, this is the first prophecy of Jesus in the Bible. And he wasn't even born yet, okay? Right after Eve and Adam sinned, the curse entered into the world. God didn't just speak judgment. He spoke a promise to Satan. What was the promise? He told the serpent, which was Satan, that one day the seed of the woman would come, and that that seed, a man born of a woman, would crush the serpent's head. But in the process, Satan would bruise his heel. This is a prophecy of the cross, amen. And after he smooth talked them out of the earth, God said, not so fast, Satan. I got something for you doing what you did. And he straightened it out. Now, it didn't come overnight. But what? Patience brought it. So this is the other reason that Satan is after the child, because not only is he going to save the whole world through his gift of life, through his blood, but he's also going to crush the head of the serpent, or Satan. This is the other reason that Satan is after the child. Also, because from the very beginning, he knew the child would be his end, he tried to stop the seed from being born. That's why we were talking about the other stuff that he was doing when the baby was in a manger, or the baby coming in Revelation 12, okay? In the spirit, that's what's happening in the spirit, spiritual realm. And then Matthew, the second chapter, is happening on the earth. I'm excited about this lesson. But let me say this. These are other ways he tried to stop the child from being born. He tried to corrupt the bloodline during Noah's days. That's when the fallen angels, okay, God's sons, came down on the earth and saw that the women were beautiful, and they mated with those women and had children. They called them the Nephilims, all right? And so what eventually happened was, when God came down, he repented that he ever made man. And why did he save Noah? I'll tell you right now, he saved Noah because Noah was the only one on the earth that had the true DNA that God gave man. The rest of them had spliced DNA and mixed it up, and they had mixed up with the Nephilim, so they were not pure anymore. Now, he also tried to wipe out Israel by being invaded during several wars. Another way, he stirred up Pharaoh to kill babies in Egypt. And then he stirred up Herod to kill babies in Bethlehem, the child born in a manger. So now that's here on the earth, but let's see what happened in heaven. Revelation 12, let's go there next. Because it shows the spiritual version of what happened in Genesis 3:15 promise, and what happened with the way he tried to get the child on the earth Now he's trying to get him on the spiritual level, because what I want you to know is everything happens in the spirit before it comes to reality or life. Now the child is coming to crush the serpent's head. And the serpent is doing everything he can to stop it. Now, Revelation 12 and verse 1, this is what it says. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, the woman represents the church, the elect, God's chosen, or his covenant people, Israel. That's what the woman represents. Now, the statement in that scripture, the woman clothed with the sun, is talking about God, who provides all light and energy and life to the earth, the sun. Amen. Now this woman or the church is crowned with the kingdom of God and all power of his kingdom. Now the clothes of the woman or the church will bear the fruits and characteristics of the Godhead because she is crowned. All right. She is the church crowned with the kingdom of God and all power in her favor. On her side. Now the moon under her feet represents the Son of God, Jesus Christ. While receiving his light from God, the Son, Jesus Christ, the moon is also the foundation and cornerstone of the church. And get this, he is also the bridegroom to his bride, which is the church. Amen. Now the crown upon her head represents power and authority, and the 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel, or, because it does not explain, so it could represent also, she is crowned with the 12 apostles who were with Jesus and who were also given authority to lead the church after Jesus left. Now these apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit because Jesus blew it on them before he left and told them to continue to minister all over the world. Amen. And she being with child, verse 2, she cried and travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. Now the travailing and birth pain, this is what it represents. It represents the journey and troubles that Israel went through before, during, and after the birth of the Messiah, Christ Jesus. Now, this verse gives the heavenly perspective on the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And when I say incarnation, I mean a person who embodies in the flesh a deity or a God, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now the beast is said to come out of the sea, and these heads can represent the 7 major empires, all powers that have historically opposed God's people and worked along with Satan to do evil against Israel. And Satan is their ultimate leader. Now, many scholars associate these heads with significant world powers throughout history. And also, the 7 crowns represent false authority. They have no real or true authority. Now the beast is who Jesus came to destroy. Now the dragon tries to destroy him immediately in the spirit before it came to the earth. The child is caught up to God and to his throne. We were talking about Jesus, and it's tied to his resurrection and his ascension. That's what this is about, because he knows and he can see. Remember, he was an angel right before the throne of God. So he can see things that you can't see, and he knows things that you don't know. But he sees the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And also, its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour the child the moment he was born. Verse 5 says, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God. Come on now. And to his throne. He couldn't touch it. He does not have that kind of power. This is when Satan also was kicked out of heaven. You see, we saw many times, like even in Job, where he said he was walking up and down in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. He was talking to God, okay? And the angels who were meeting at that time. Now is the time when he was cast out of heaven, and he brought a third of the angels with him. That's what it means in 4 says, its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. That's what it means. A third of the angels fell with him. They were kicked out of heaven. Now, I just want to tell you that you got to see this for what it is. He's not only after Jesus, he's after you, because you are also the seed of the woman. And so he does not want you coming at him. He wants to destroy every one of God's children that he can. And those he can't, he'll try to convert to follow him, just like he did the angels that were following him in heaven. Revelations 3:12 says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. This is what God will do for those that overcome, those that stick with him. Because if you go back to what I just read, he says, and he shall go no more out. What he's talking about is that you don't have to go out and work to figure out this, to figure out that. He's telling you that you go to God for it. See, I told you it was two people in that body that you live in. There's the one that God created, and there's the one that the world created. But he's telling you that you will be with him. You understand? And you won't have to go out and figure this stuff out. If you went to Hebrews 4:11, it tells you that the word is living and active. It also tells you that we will labor to enter that rest. So what does labor mean? What does a woman do in labor? She labors with the pain, okay? And she's in close communication with her own body. She knows what's happening to her body as she's about to deliver this baby. So what does a man do when he's at work? He has to go out and labor. As he's laboring, he's also in communication with his body. He's knowing what he can do, what he can't do. He knows limitations. He knows how to do certain things, because he's in close communication with his own body. So what I'm trying to tell you, God is in close communication with his children who are laboring to walk in his peace, to rest in his peace, and to be with him and allow him to make the decisions for their lives. Because when he makes a decision, we know the outcome. When you make the decision, you just guessing. You don't know. Now, I got something very positive to read to you all before I get out of here today. But let me pray and I'll read that on my way out. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. I pray that they saw you in the midst of it and what you have for each and every one of them, that they need to be patient with you, Lord, and let you work these things out and stop trying to do everything for themselves and come up with their own solutions, knowing that God is the creator of all things in heaven and in the earth, and he knows your future. He knows what he planned for you. The Bible says he went to your end to establish your beginning. Go to God with your decision. Pray to him. Be patient and wait upon the Lord, and he shall guide thy path. These and other blessings we ask. In thy son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Now what I have for you is this. God is positioning you for something greater, something you didn't plan for, but heaven did. You're about to walk through a door that makes no sense on paper, but perfect sense in the spirit and in heaven. The enemy will whisper in your ear, "You're not ready. You're not qualified." But God says, "I called you. I equipped you. I appointed you. Walk in like you belong there, because you do. You're not walking in your own strength. You're walking in his power and his authority. This moment is not random. It's your assignment. No more shrinking, no more doubting, no more delays. Step in and speak up. Stand firm in your vision and what God has for you. You were born for this." Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that you got what you were supposed to get out of the service. I've got one more piece of business I need to discuss with you. This is about giving. We have some things that we are trying to accomplish around here, and we need your help. Now, what I'm asking for is a very small amount of giving. I'm asking for $20 every 2 weeks or $40 for the whole month. And for those that can give more, give. Don't hold back. Give. That's what this is about. This ministry, I pray, is a value to you. And you know, planting seeds is what it's about. There are people that are not even God's people. They'll never be broke because they use the principle of giving. And it is a principle. The Bible tells you, if you give, you shall never lack. So the amount I'm asking for, very small. Give. Now, we'll have some of it up where you can give Cash App or Zelle. And if you need a different way that you want to give off your credit card, download our app. You should have it anyway, because you can get on-demand messages, sermons, Bible study. It's found in the App Store, Rick H. Carter Ministries, Inc. It's also found in the Google Play Store, Rick H. Carter Ministries, Inc. I want you to have an absolutely terrific week. The next part of this message is going to be dynamite. We're going to talk about the cross, him going to hell, and a few other things that's going to bring victory to your ears. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen. This joy that I have, I give it, the world can't take it away, take it away.